Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's off to a roaring start on this gray, rainy day. Looks like we're going to have rain here for most of our show. Then things should clear up, but it's going to be also a little bit cold today, too. It's going to be cold over the weekend, but nonetheless, it's not going to stop us. The show must go on, and we're excited about that. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County. In Smyrna, Willie Donick is in East Nashville. Chase McCabe on the west side in Bellevue. And Marcus Munson back at 1824 Hello. Murfreesboro Pike, which is our wholesale link. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gents, what's going on?
Well, I think you said it well, Darren. It's a little cool out there.
Yeah.
A little chilly, a little rainy, but that's all right.
Yeah, not a whole lot. You know, I've dissected the Titans schedule in and out, so, you know, good to go with that. But other than all of that, nothing. Just hanging out, enjoying life.
Well, you hit the over on 2.5, so your over and under was right. It was dead on at 2.5. That was a good number to have it. And it was that swing Sunday night game that I didn't believe they would get. Pushed it to the over. I mean, I think... Yeah. Well, we all knew they were going to get a Thursday. We all felt pretty good they were going to get a Monday. But would they get that infamous Sunday night game that they haven't had in over a decade? And I said, nope. Need to see it to believe it. You know, prove it to me. There's no proof right now that they're willing to give them an NBC Sunday night game. And yet they did in late December, although that is late in the schedule, and you never know how that could play out. You know, you never know. It could get bumped. So,
sure.
You know, there are things that could happen. You know, if Ryan Tannehill goes down in week 8 and it's Logan Woodside the rest of the season or Cole McDonald, do you think they're putting the Titans on Sunday Night Football?
Nope.
I highly doubt it.
But
I would say outlook not good.
You can say the same thing for Green Bay, because I brought this up with Ryan that I don't think Green Bay is going to have a good season. I don't think they did enough to help Aaron Rodgers and get him the weapons that he needs, and I'm not sold on Matt LaFleur yet. So I could also see Green Bay just not being good. Now, granted, they're still Green Bay. They're still the Packers, so they might just keep that game, but I could see them being flexed out because of Green Bay too. I was shocked that Baltimore was not a primetime game. Absolutely stunned.
Green Bay's got the following. It would take a lot to push them out, but they also have the first-round quarterback as the backup.
That's true.
The heir apparent that everybody's curious, one, why did you draft him? Why did you do that? And he's the next guy. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, they think is going to be the replacement for Aaron Rodgers. So there's a lot of intrigue there. The Titans have an undrafted quarterback and a seventh-round quarterback, and I'm not sure there's really any intrigue around the country for either one of them. So my guess is, if anything happens to the Titans quarterback situation, I would say outlook probably not good for that game against the Packers. Not saying that if Aaron Rodgers went down, the Packers are a lock to stay in there, but their circumstances are better because they have the heir apparent and they have the first-round quarterback in the wings. And there is intrigue. Whether it's to see him fail or to see if he's the real deal, there is intrigue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And I would say that regardless of which two teams we're talking about or which specific game, there are going to be a lot of games that look really good today. Wow, I can't wait to see that game. That by the time the game is played,
sure,
you're thinking, why did they schedule this? Like, well, this is what a dud. You know, it's just inevitable with the way the league works.
Every year.
The first thing that really stood out to me when I looked at the schedule when they sent it out was the NFL sees the Titans and they go, okay, yeah, definitely better. Went to the AFC title game. All right, three primetime games feels right, but we're going to set up some potentially juicy matchups later in the schedule that we can move around if we need to. Now, I know that the Titans aren't the only team they do that for. They do that for just about everybody. But putting, you know, Baltimore in the flex window, both Colts games in the flex window, Cleveland, you know, who knows what they are, that last game against Houston, which is it is weird that 2 years in a row they're ending the season on the road at Houston. I figured there'd be a little more of a rotation there. But there are some – and even the game again at Cincinnati, which I don't think the Bengals will be very good, but you have the Joe Burrow factor that is in that flex window. That's kind of something that I took away. But as I said, I was shocked Baltimore wasn't actually scheduled as at least a 3:30 game.
Yeah, me too. I thought for sure that would be a primetime game. How about the Broncos being the 2.5-point favorite over the Titans? That kind of jumped out of me. I'm like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, in the way too early spread.
Will Denver be better? Yeah, they're probably going to be better, but gosh, I don't know.
It's the Jarrell Casey favorite. Jarrell Casey revenge game.
Yeah.
Look, that will be a part of it. There's no doubt. But, I mean, I don't know how much Jarrell Casey changes the Vegas line. My guess is he doesn't.
Well, here's a part of it, too. The flip card that you give us every year with the Titans schedule, I went and looked through it last night. Since they have been the Tennessee Titans since 1999.
I would say their success – are you going their success rate in Denver?
Yeah, they've never won.
I suspect it's not good. Yeah,
they've never won. They've never won at Denver. They have never won at Old Mile High, New Mile High, whatever it's called. They have never won in Denver, Colorado as the Titans.
Well, and we remember the game last year, right? It's what changed their whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an ugly game. Ugly. Bad.
Awful. But Taylor Lewan talked about that on NFL.com. He was a part of their schedule release and said that, you know, all of DeMarcus, but that game was defining for our season because that's when the change was made and we know what happened after that. So, but they still have that bad taste in their mouth and they know their history. They, even though it's different team and different coaches, they know the organization's history out there. So they want to try and change that. It's on the big stage or the back half of the Monday night doubleheader to open the week and a lot of expectations. And so, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try and predict that game. I'm nervous about it already on May 8th because of the history and what last year looked like. But
you're nervous about
it? You're nervous?
Yeah, just because it's at the success.
The season's over if they lose?
No, I'm not going to say that. But I don't want to see them start 0-1, and I know that they haven't been good in Denver.
You're nervous about that game. That's an interesting choice of words.
I guess we have nothing else to do but be nervous about the game.
Yeah, I was about to say, what else am I going to worry about right
you're
now?
You're nervous about a game on September 14th.
Anthony Pettis and Cowboy Cerrone, am I going to worry about that?
Who do we think is announcing that game?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That's the second game, right?
Yeah.
The doubleheader?
Hasn't Rexy done the late game the last couple
of
years?
Yeah, they've had some makeshift, not makeshift, but they've had some creative crews to do that game. I remember Chris Berman and Trent Dilfer did it one time.
They were good.
You're right.
I
Rex
that
Ryan team has been on that at some point. Because they don't have their regular Monday night crew will do the first game. So they don't split that crew up.
Who will
they
be their
an
regular
entirely
Monday
different
night crew?
Crew.
Do we even know? Do we know that yet? Who the regular Monday night crew?
Well, nothing is going to be regular, I guess. I would predict. Who knows how many fans they'll let in the stands, if any, for that game, for either of those games.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I haven't announced this on the show, but you know, I have my LA trip planned. I officially canceled it. I have canceled the flights, so I have that credit.
So what is that? So just because I've got to do the same thing for the New York trip.
Yeah.
So
you just get a
credit.
Yeah, you just get a credit to use on another flight. Like, you don't get your money back, but I think you can, if you call them, I think it, because of COVID, you can probably get your money back, but I know I'm going to use it, so I just kept it as a credit. And I had used some points, so you just get the points back. So the points went back into my account, and I have a credit. But I was looking at this. If fans are allowed, I might go out to Denver for game one. Be a fun trip. Flights are also cheap right now. But, again, we don't know are fans going to be allowed. That's the big if. I think the game will be played.
I wonder what Vegas's philosophy is on how you would do your normal adjustment for home field. There's no fans in the stands. Like Mile High Stadium is an advantage because of the altitude.
Sure.
But usually it's an advantage when it's a packed house and you got all those great fans there. Opening night, you would think it would be great. But do you adjust it because you may not have those fans?
Oh, that game would be sold out. I mean, normal circumstances, that game is a hard, hard ticket for them. But, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, we always say that home field counts for a certain amount of points, right? They usually say 3 points in the NFL. So how much does that change the lines? You're right. If there's limited or nobody in the stands, you could see some major line adjustments because you're right. You don't have that crowd to feed off. I mean, just think about some of the advantages we see around the league where we say that's a tough place to play, and you no longer will say that if that were the case, if it's limited or no fans. So that's a really good point. Really good point. But
you guys say tough schedule, easy schedule for this. Right? Where is it on the spectrum when you saw it?
I
say pretty tough.
Yeah. But it's got – I like the layout of it, I guess. I don't think it's easy by any means. But, you know, they should beat Denver. They should. They should beat Jackson.
It allows them, I think.
Wait a minute. They're an underdog, but they should beat them?
They are underdog on May 8th, Willie. Come
and
on.
You're nervous. You're nervous.
I'm nervous.
They're an underdog, but they should beat them.
But they should win?
Should. They should. They you.
Why?
Well, why would you be nervous?
Understand. The NFL, there's very few should wins in the NFL. They got shut out there 16-0 last year.
That's why I'm nervous. I'm nervous because
they
haven't played
win.
Well out there.
But they should win.
It's not a should-win game. It's a toss-up game.
Okay. It's a toss-up game. Like, the word should means on paper because the Titans are constructed better, in my opinion, than the Denver Broncos, they should win that game. With that said,
even though they're an underdog.
They have lost games that they should win. Is that what you want
and
me to say?
Then they've never beaten Denver.
This is a league where there's a salary cap, and everybody has about the same. There's almost no should wins in the NFL, with some exceptions.
You know what? Marquise is bailing me out. It's a trap game. How about that?
It's not a trap game. They're an underdog. On paper, if it's a should win, they would be a 7 or 8 point favorite. That's paper. Paper is what Vegas says.
Okay, so how would you describe it, Dr. Donick?
I just told you. It's a toss-up.
Okay, it's a toss-up. We'll go with that.
If you were on a NASCAR track, you found the wall a couple times.
Apparently. And I thought I was just riding along and everything's great. And then next
it wasn't
a
ride-along. It was not a ride-along. You hit the wall 3 times.
I see how today's going to go.
Guys, they've never won in Denver.
Match.
Guys, they're an underdog. Guys, I am nervous. But I'll tell you what, they should win that game.
That's not the tone I use. I said they should. They should, but I'm still nervous about it. Why is that not an okay statement to make?
You also wear a thunder blanket whenever there's a thunderstorm. So, yeah, you get nervous at a lot of things, so.
I like a good thing.
And that's for Sawyer. It's not even for you. I don't know why you're putting that on. All right, we'll come back. Jeremy Fowler, we'll ask him about the schedule.
I'm going to bring the thunder with you.
Get into some NFL talk. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Friday morning. NFL released their schedule last night, and the Titans will begin late on a Monday night in Denver versus the Broncos. That game will not kick off till just past 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And with all of that being said, Jeremy Fowler, who is ESPN's senior NFL reporter, he is on the line with us. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing good. I want to run this by you to start this off. There are two intriguing teams in the AFC that have been good, consistently good, for a good while. We just expect them every year to be right in the thick of things, especially New England. But the other team is Pittsburgh. But now there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of question marks on really what they are right now heading into this season as we sit here. I get it. It's just May. But how would you answer that if Jarrett Stidham is indeed the starting quarterback for New England? What are the Patriots and what are the Steelers this year, in your opinion?
Well, they're unknowns in some ways. Although the Steelers, much of it hinges on how Ben Roethlisberger responds from his shoulder injury, or excuse me, his elbow injury, where he's right on track as far as I've heard. But, you know, he has to go out there and try to throw with velocity in live practice reps and game reps. So once he clears that hurdle, I do like the Steelers as a playoff contender. Schedule sets up nicely. You know, they don't, it looks on paper at least, they don't have a gauntlet. And so, you know, it's set up for them to be in the playoff push. Mike Tomlin has never lost more than 8 games in a season, you know, so they'll always be in the mix. And in New England, overall in on Jarrett Stidham and the other quarterbacks they have in that room. I mean, I think everybody's still a little shocked that they haven't added more to the quarterback room post Tom Brady, but they got a young player they like on a rookie contract, and you know they're going to be competitive and strong on defense. You know, they've added a few weapons on offense, but it's really hard to tell how they're going to look on that side of the ball. But most people are betting on Bill Belichick's pedigree to at least get the most out of that team.
So I think you're not going to get pushback from anybody that KC and Baltimore right now, I think everybody believes, are the cream of the crop in the AFC. In your opinion, who's third?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I would say, let's see, we got, I might go Buffalo, you know.
Ooh, okay.
I like they're kind of walking and talking like contenders right now. You know, a lot depends on Josh Allen, but I think the first half of the schedule sets up nicely for him, and that will boost his confidence. They're expecting him to make a jump, and that's why they went and got Stephon Diggs. Defense is really solid. There are really no holes. So everybody they drafted was more to provide competition, you know. So, you know, I like Buffalo in that spot. I like, you know, the AFC West is going to look a lot different than it did a year ago, I think. You know, everybody's loaded up on offense to try to combat the Chiefs. That's going to be a lot of fun. I expect at least one of those teams out of the West to be above 500. And, you know, for all Bill O'Brien's crazy moves as the GM and head coach, I still like their roster's chances in 2020. I mean, you know, it might not last long term, but I like some of their pieces.
So you think the Bills finally, somebody finally wins that division, not named New England?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Buffalo this year. And Belichick could very well prove me wrong there, but – you know, and I like some of the things Miami's done, but it's still it's like they've collected a lot of different players, and I don't know how it's all going to fit with all the draft picks and free agency moves, and where Buffalo, I feel like, has more of a solid foundation right now.
So where's your first AFC South team in that pecking order in the AFC?
I'm going to go Houston for now. Man, that's tough, though, because three of these four teams could be really good. And I'm tempted to go Colts because I think they have really – they might have one of the best backfields right now with Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor, who they added, who a lot of people thought was the best pure runner in the draft. And you know, but the Titans, with what they've done, you know, it's hard to argue with that. I'm going to go Texans right now, and I could be way off on that. But I'm going to bet on the quarterback making a huge year four jump. You know, he's got speed. He doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore, but he's got speed and he's got running backs, and, you know, that the offensive line should be improved. So let's go with Houston.
Jeremy Fowler is with us. And, Jeremy, I know some of your colleagues on ESPN today were talking about the travel. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this happens a lot in NHL discussions, as you can imagine. The teams in the Eastern Conference travel way less than the teams in the Western Conference, and that's just a fact of life. In football, you don't hear about it as much. I mean, you travel once a week if you're traveling, but there was quite a disparity between a team like the Seahawks and a team like the Ravens, who seems like they're barely leaving the Eastern time zone.
Yeah, you're going to get that every year. I mean, I think Seattle goes in every season knowing that it's going to be a brutal stretch for them. Really just depends on which teams from the East are playing the NFC West, you know. Whoever does that has the longer haul And so, you know, if you're Baltimore, you luck out a little bit. You know, the AFC North is paired with the NFC East, so you're right in the backyard there. So minimal travel for the Steelers, Ravens, and others.
Another thing that was noteworthy that they pointed out was the schedule for Tampa Bay. Obviously, they have a lot of games in prime time, but the other thing that was important was that they are not going to, on paper, play any bad weather games. And I didn't look at them game by game, but basically they're not having to go anywhere November or December where the weather could be iffy, and maybe that's a plus for Tom Brady.
I would say so. Well, the thing is, even if they had to play in bad weather, he's used to that. I mean, he can throw the ball in the cold and in the snow. A little surprising as a setup for them, but, you know, Tampa, with all their games in the South anyways, built into the division, you know, it sets up nicely. But, you know, you got Kansas City, late November. I could see – oh, no, that's a home game. So, yeah, you're right. At Carolina, at Atlanta, at Detroit late in the year, but that's in a dome. So, set up pretty nicely. You know, November 2nd at New York could be a little cold. It get a little snow there. But it doesn't look like the gauntlet that Tom Brady's used to late in the year.
And you remember the weird stat way back in the day that the Buccaneers like had never won a game with the temperature below 40 degrees or something for a couple decades of their existence. Of course, their winning percentage wasn't great no matter what back then, but that was a stat I remember growing up following. Let me ask you this, Jeremy, before I turn it over to Chase. Jadeveon Clowney, if he were to sign with the Titans, what difference would it make in your mind where they fit in the grand scheme of things in the AFC?
I'm sorry, did you say about Clowney? You said
yes.
If they added him?
Yeah, if they added him, what would that do to their positioning in your mind?
So, I mean, that's really, you look at their front defensively, it feels like they're missing one piece. Whether that's Clowney or maybe Everson Griffin, or to get creative, get somebody who can rush on the interior. But they need one more guy up front, I feel like, and then they'll be in pretty good shape. You know, otherwise the moves they've made set up pretty nicely for what should be a very wide-open AFC South. I don't know that there's one team that's head and shoulders above the rest, because it's, you know, the tough part with Tennessee, and this is tough to project, is despite – their strength on paper, and you know Mike Vrabel's teams are always going to be well-coached and defensively tough. You just don't know if Ryan Tannehill can duplicate what he did a year ago. And so that's the trickiest part to me. You know, you're counting on Derrick Henry being able to dominate games the way he did, and I think they can still do a lot of that. It's just they caught lightning in a bottle there late in the year, and it's going to be tough to replicate that. But even so, I expect it to be really tight between those three teams in the South, maybe more than we've ever seen with Jacksonville as the outside looking in.
Jeremy Fowler of ESPN here with us. So do you think there is a clear-cut front runner for Jadeveon Clowney right now?
No. It's in a holding pattern right now, I think, because now he's willing to wait a little bit because if teams – reopen their facility soon, he can actually go into their building and say, look how healthy I am, check me out, you know, because the core muscle surgery was gave some teams pause, or even if it didn't give them pause, it took a little bit off their offer, you know, and he was never going to get that $20 million. It looks like I think teams just didn't look at him as a top five pass rusher, but he's borderline top 10, which means that's the issue. It's like those kind of guys get paid close to $20 million, and teams just weren't willing to do that. So I think he's going to take a one-year deal somewhere. I still think Cleveland might revisit. They got really close with him. Tennessee is sort of waiting on him. I think they're willing to sign him, but at a price, you know. And Seattle, I think, is out of it at this point because, you know, their money was never really high, and I just don't think it's going to happen there. So I would say either Tennessee, Tennessee or Cleveland at this point with maybe a surprise team. I know the Eagles have been mentioned as being involved, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to go that route. And they have a pretty good defensive front.
Jeremy, what do you think ends up happening at the end of the day with Cam Newton?
Oh, man, I don't see an opening right now. And I know there have been reports about him maybe willing to be able to take a backup job or being open to that, but I just don't know if that suits him, you know. I could see Seattle, if he's going to go that route, maybe just go for the fit and go Seattle, a place where he can run some play action offense, and you know, you're probably not going to play, but you just rebuild your brand for a year and then hit the market again, you know, when there's a need at quarterback. You know, that's the problem. It just, you know, Andy Dalton, you could sign him and he can play as a starter or a backup. You know, Cam Newton is a starting quarterback. It's just hard to envision him as a backup, and he knows it and teams know it, and he doesn't really even fit that mold. You know, it's almost like if you're going to sign him, you got to be all in, and nobody's all in because everybody has fit their need there. So I could even see him waiting and seeing if there's an injury or something happens at training camp where he's needed all of a sudden, you know, and then you have leverage and you can sign as a starter.
Did Jameis Winston signing with the Saints and basically saying, yeah, I'm going to be a backup to learn from Drew Brees, do you think that that changed the market for Cam at all, or did it have a bearing on it?
No, because Jameis was in a different spot. I think Jameis had to accept that he was going to be a backup before Cam did. It was well known that Jameis wasn't going to get a starting job at that point once the Bucs moved on. So he had to decide, you know, do you go for the fit, knowing that you can follow the Teddy Bridgewater model and maybe play in a few games, but you sit behind Drew Brees, learn a lot, and try to boost your value for 2021. You know, that wasn't really the play for Cam. Plus, he got cut a little later than when Jameis became a true free agent. You know, he had a little more of a head start. So I don't think it really affected him, and I don't think Andy Dalton really affects Cam Newton at all. He's just, they're very different in their style of play. So if you're going to sign Cam, it's sort of isolated from other quarterbacks. It's just it's a different dynamic with what he offers as a runner and a passer.
Last thing, Jeremy, we did our top 10 power rankings in both conferences. Just overall in the league. And I want to phrase this question this way to wrap this up. A playoff team last year that you suspect, if things don't fall into place, they're not going to be in the playoffs again this year. Who would you have as a playoff team last year that you could see them missing the playoffs this year? How would you answer that?
Well, I'm going to point to Green Bay, which is interesting because I think their over-under is 8.5, which I expect them to win more than that. But it's hard to see them duplicating the 13 wins. And, you know, even their Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to come out firing and have a pretty good year, maybe have like a spite season after what happened with them drafting Jordan Love. But I don't know if they have enough firepower to sustain. You know, the Eagles are a team that, you know, they limped into the playoffs. And they should have more firepower this year, but I'm still not wholly convinced there. So that's another one that comes to mind.
That's interesting. Green Bay was one we definitely pointed at. Hey, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks.
All right, that is Jeremy Fowler. He's at J Fowler ESPN. He is ESPN's senior NFL reporter, and we do appreciate him joining us. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Don't forget, we've got some trivia in the final hour of the program. Got some gift cards to give away. Looking forward to that. And also, we're expected to be joined by former Predator captain Mike Fisher at some point in the final hour as well. So a loaded final hour of the program. You just made the list coming up at noon. We know a lot of you are working from home right now during the COVID-19 pandemic. You can stream us from anywhere. You can download the Game Nashville app. That's an option. You can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game. That's certainly an option. Or you can just flat out live stream us from our website, thegamenashville.com. It is interesting that the team that we identified as a trouble spot is Green Bay. And, oh, by the way, that could also factor in to what we're discussing in the first segment of that December 27th Sunday night football game. What if Green Bay isn't that good? You know, what if they fall off this season? They don't, they just, for whatever reason, life in the NFL, it doesn't work out. One year the Rams in the Super Bowl, the next year they struggle. Even though they finished 9-7, we've considered last year a struggle. So what, you know, he identified Green Bay as well, just like we did when we did our power rankings. I don't believe any of us had Green Bay in, correct, in
no.
The top 10?
I had him in the top 10.
Yeah,
you had him in the top 10. Okay, I did not.
No, I didn't either. And I even said, I mean, I brought that part up in the first segment with the schedule of, you know, I don't identify the Titans as the team that could screw that deal up. I think it could be Green Bay, even though I respect the fact they're still the Green Bay Packers and it's Lambeau and there are storylines, but I just don't believe in them. I really don't. And Jeremy seemed to lean that way. You have, and Willie, I know you have him in the top 10, but I need to see it again. And I feel like last year was obviously an overachievement, a good overachievement, but I'm not sold on Matt LaFleur, and they didn't get Rodgers any help.
13-3 is hard to see, but you got number 12. So I think they've got it. If he has a good year, I think they'll be in the top 10. But, you know, if he gets hurt, everything changes, right? And that you could say that about anybody in the top 10. If they lose their quarterback, sure, they're probably not a top 10 team.
Of course.
Yeah, if Tannehill gets hurt, then that could change
a lot
of
things.
That's
why I said, if Tannehill's out, then the Titans will be on.
Jeremy also raised a lot of questions as to whether Tannehill could equal his numbers. And that will be a huge storyline because he was lights out. We know that. And he has not been that level his entire career. So what do you get with a full season of Ryan Tannehill? I think we all would have to be reasonable and say he's not going to be at the same level as he was last year. But if he's somewhere close to that, I think they can still win a lot more games than they won last year.
Just need him to be a field general, to use that cliche. That's what you need. You know, you have Derrick Henry.
Let's get more specific, though. He needs to be better than Mariota was on a weekly basis. He doesn't have to be as spectacular as he was. I mean, what he basically did was he took full advantage of the fact that Henry was dominating. The defenses had to adjust to Henry, and he was able to make the right reads. He took exactly advantage of what the defense gave him. He also benefited from having A.J. Brown, an emerging weapon, and he distributed the ball, I think, extremely well. He understood where the matchups were. He was good at spreading it around. I think if he does those things, the numbers should be there. Maybe not at the level that they were last year, but something close and something that outperforms Mariota's week-in, week-out performance over the previous few years. Hopefully that would equate to double-digit.
The Titans have gone 9-7 four straight years. It's led to playoffs two of those 4 years. Taylor Lewan talked about the Titans trying to get past that 9-7 mark. Okay.
I guess
my bad.
Ready.
My bad. Was this on Bussin' with the Boys, the Taylor Lewan?
No, this was NFL.
Oh, he was on NFL.
NFL.com. This was NFL.com, and it was with Joe Thomas and one other person that was there too. Andrew Hawkins. He was with Joe Thomas and Andrew Hawkins talking about
two Cleveland Browns, former Cleveland Browns guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went through and listened to some of it, and it was pretty good. I think we have the clip ready now, but they were kind of, you know, two offensive linemen talking about Vrabel and kind of having some trash talking back and forth. So it was kind of fun.
So I think at this point, it's easy to just assume we're going to go 9-7. I feel like for the last 3-4 years, we've been 9-7 every single year. So it's about getting that monkey off our back. So with all due respect, 8-8, it's a little bit ridiculous to me. But I think, you know this, Joe Hawk, you know this as well. Like when you look at the schedule, the first thing you look at is the personnel you're going against. And I have my hands full this season. There's so many great pass rushers out there, and it seems like I'm going against every single one of them this year. But obviously that week one, that's going to set the tone for the rest of the week. Last time we were in Denver, we got shut out, and that's always an embarrassing thing. And I think that's when a big change in our team happened. Obviously everyone knows about the quarterback change, and all love to Marcus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just one of those things where that was the turning point for us, and hopefully we can get the season started the way we finished.
Do you realize in the 4 years of the 9-7, straight 9-7 seasons, last year was the first time they had won an opening day? Isn't that crazy? You would think, oh, how critical it is. You're sitting here telling us, Chase, how nervous you are. They started off 0-1 every year until last year. They've lost the first game of the season, but still found a way to finish 9-7 in all those years other than last year. And it was weird because they got off to the good start, and then they, you know, they had that bad patch. Yeah. And then things changed, and then things looked really, really bleak, and then they turned it around. But they haven't traditionally gotten off to good starts in those 9-7 seasons. They've lost the first game of the year. They've gotten off to a slow start, or at least an 0-1 start. They've always rebounded after that first loss. But, yeah, they didn't get – that was the first time they had won an opener last year in this four-year run of 9-7. So they'll have their hands full.
Wizenhunt was good in the first game. We knew that. But then there was a streak where –
Well, Wizen, that wasn't any of that was Wizen.
We're talking about
9-7 seasons. I mean,
no,
Wizen.
That's the point.
Take him 5 seasons to win 9 games.
Yeah, you didn't understand what I was. It was a joke, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, no, I understand the joke. I created the joke. I get it. Yeah, I know the joke. I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. Yeah, I know. I know the joke. I'm just saying this particular stretch run of 9-7 teams. They haven't gotten off to good starts until last year where they went in. You know, I was there in Cleveland, and they just opened up a can in the second half. And, you know, they were the underdog in that game, if you remember. The Browns were the sexy pick. They're the slight underdog in this game. I think Denver's better. I don't think Denver is – I understand why they're the slight favorite, but I don't believe they're the better team. And the Titans should go there, and they should do something they've never done since they've been in this market. They should go out there, and they should beat Denver. They are the better team. That's not how it always works. The better team doesn't always win, but I think they're the better team, and they should win this game. I do. Like, I don't think Denver.
There's something to be
said. What's
Denver
in the pecking order in that division?
So there's that should word again.
Well, it's the NFL,
man. I can't. Yeah.
But I was saying the exact same thing. That's what I meant. Like what you just said is exact. I'm nervous about it, but they should win it. They are the better team, so the Titans should go out there and take care of business. So you and I are 100% on the same page.
Yeah, but when you play a team in the first week, but as Floyd always says, the bad teams don't know they're bad yet. You know they don't have the injuries piling up. That you see, you kind of want to play teams that you figure are going to fall off later in the season and not early in the season. I think that's a tough time to play in Denver on opening night when everybody's got hope, everybody's got probably a lot of health. The Titans have been saddled the last couple of seasons under Mike Vrabel with some early season issues, right? You know, they haven't been as healthy, or they've had a Taylor Lewan suspended. Remember the year before, Rashawn Evans took a long time before he got on the field. Last year, they had Nate Davis, long time before he got on the field. They haven't had a lot of luck.
Jeffrey Simmons,
another good one. Yeah, they've had issues. Remember the whole Rashad Matthews thing was all messed up a couple years ago. Remember they were in training camp sitting there with about – we're all looking around going, they only have like 2 wide receivers on the roster that anybody knows about, you know? So it would be nice to have your ducks in a row to get off to a better start. They have been a team that has improved and played their best at the end of the season the last couple of years, I think, for the most part. So I think that's the difference. Like you said it last year, Darren, they won the first game, but they still were, what, 3-5?
Yep.
Or 4-6?
At the midway point.
Or, no, what, 3-5, I think?
3-5 at the midway point, right? Halfway through the season? I think that sounds right.
Yeah. After they lost to Denver was the that was right about when they made the move, right? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, I mean they made the move in the Denver game.
They never looked back. Yep. Well, no.
Yeah, and they lost. They didn't feel good at the end of that game because they lost 16-0.
At
that point, that was like the that was the low point.
They were okay. I just pulled up their schedule. So after Denver. They were 1-2, 2-2, 2-3. So 2-4 after Denver, and then 3-5 after the Chargers.
So they were 3-5. Okay, that's what I thought at the midway point. That sounded right because we were sitting here going, "This is not good. I mean, this looks very very bleak. No one could see, you know, playoffs at that point. You'd be crazy to think that." You would think that, you know, this is going the wrong direction, and then things turned around. I mean, that has been the good thing. They have been able to especially finish strong, which has been a nice thing to see, right? Finishing up strong. And they've been doing that course, you have to at some point, right? You have to string together winning streaks at some point to get to 9-7. So, I don't know. I'll be interested to see how this season starts off. Denver is one of those intriguing teams because you feel like they're better. I feel like they did a pretty good they got Melvin Gordon in the offseason, right? So they got Lindsey and Gordon.
That's a pretty good
right. That's a pretty nasty backfield.
Yeah, I'm wrong. They were 4-4 because I forgot that it was a tight game with the Chargers and they won that game and then they beat the Bucs the next week. Even though Vrabel, that was the game where there was one of those fourth down calls that Vrabel, you know, it was a bad call, but they ended up winning that game. So they were 4-4 after 8 games.
Well, the Chargers game was the goal line, you know, crazy fumble, goal line stand. That was nuts. That was one of the more crazier games I've ever seen. All right, we'll come back. Brett Okamoto, who covers the UFC for ESPN, will start the second hour for us, but we'll come back and wrap up the first hour next. Back around Darren Donick and Chase on this rainy, cold day here in Middle Tennessee. The NHL has postponed its international games for 2020. That's what the league and the PA announced earlier today. I guess it was about an hour and a half ago. No surprise there. In fact, I think I even brought that up on the show yesterday or the day before, last couple of days, that I don't see any chance that, unfortunately, these global series will happen, you know, in this upcoming 2020-2021 season. Of course, the Predators were supposed to be a part of that. They were supposed to finish up their preseason in Switzerland and then start off their regular season against the Bruins in the Czech Republic, and that is not going to happen. I also saw the first time I was tipped off was this morning, very early, the Blue Jackets, I guess they were supposed to be a part of one too, and I got an email saying that they had canceled it, and so I was like, oh, okay, so this is where they all get canceled. No surprise there. That was kind of a no-brainer, but nonetheless, it is news, and it just came out a little bit ago. Now, the question is, what do they do? Do they just push it to the next year? Or, I would hate for them to lose it.
No, I would think. I think they would push it, you know, because I wouldn't imagine that they already have something scheduled, so they just push it to 2021. But, yeah, no surprise. When the NFL announced that they weren't going to play in London, I was like, well, every other league is going to follow suit with their international plan. So it was just a matter of time before it became official. And they did it this morning, but I think
with all the stuff they've got, it's got to be it's big time on the back burner now, right? I mean, it's just okay. We're going to push that back to the other end of the pile, and let's just work on the pile that we've got to get to right away.
You know, it's there. You can worry about
I would have to say someday it'll happen, but I think that's the last thing on their mind right now.
Yeah, rightfully so. But it just stinks because the Predators were supposed to be a part of that for the first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Roman Josi and Yannick Weber,
I guess the first time in 22 years.
There. Yeah. Right. Well, think about, you know, if you're Roman, you know, you're going to be able to take the team to his hometown with Yannick Weber and, the town they grew up in. And that was going to be a pretty special thing for those guys.
Yep. And to actually start – and that's just a preseason, but then to actually play a game that counts – you know, across the way, too, is pretty
cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. I mean, that's something completely different. But, yeah, you know, we'll see. Something we didn't get to react to some of our discussion with Elliot Freeman yesterday because we had Philip Forsberg. We played some of that after speaking with Elliot Freeman. And we had, just like every Thursday at 1 o'clock, a really good in-depth conversation with Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. And he said what I've basically been saying on this show for a good while is I just don't see what's the point of coming back for them playing the regular season. Like, I don't understand why we keep talking about trying to finish up the regular season to this point. And if you noticed in yesterday's conversation with us, it does seem like that's, dare I say, getting pushed to the back burner or getting pushed into the trash bin. Would you guys agree? I don't remember exactly how he said it, but it sounded to me, what I gathered from the interview with him, that the league is more focused on an expanded playoffs than trying to finish up the 10, 11, 12 games.
Yeah, 2014 playoff is what he was talking about, and I actually read in the New York Post they had a had it on or they were talking about it, and I think it was from yesterday that that's the latest proposal, I guess, that could see them bagging the rest of the regular season into a 2014 tournament that would have a best of three play-in round. I don't know exactly how they would break that down, but you would have, obviously there would be some teams in there that shouldn't be. And that's the only issue I have. But I also will say that, you know, you're not going to make everybody happy. You're not going to get this 100% right. If they can figure out a way to have hockey games and they just make it a postseason tournament, then you'll take it for a year because it's better than nothing. But you would have teams that are going to water it down, so to speak, and they're going to be there for one round and then they're gone. But that's just kind of how it is with these times that we're in. But that looks like what it would be, although nothing official from the NHL.
Yeah, they're not going to make it official for a while. But I do think it's interesting. You have Elliot, who in his 31 thoughts, if you read that column on a weekly basis like I do, you know how he operates. You know, he tries not to have unnamed sources, so he tries to bring, you know, meat to the table where he reports stuff. But he also, when he says, you know, gut feeling, that's how he couched it yesterday when we had him on, and he was echoing exactly what he said in his 31 thoughts. He said, it's just my gut feeling that it would be 24 teams. But in saying that, you do figure that Elliot has the insights of some people. He's talked to some people about that. So it's a way of putting that out there, and he's saying that it's coming from him. But I do wonder if he's got some people that didn't want to go on the record that have given him some info there. I do wonder, because it's echoed by Larry Brooks, the same kind of idea, a 24-team tournament, which is not new, right? You know, about a month ago you were hearing about maybe 24 teams. It makes a lot of sense, right? There's some teams that would be glad not to play, I think, at this point.
That's why it's been silly to me. You know, I've said it many times on the show. Like, this whole notion of, at this point, by the way, let's see, what was it, March 11th? Is that right? So we're 3 days away from it being exactly 2 months? I mean, you're talking...
March 12th is when we came
March 12th.
Up.
Yeah.
March 12th? Okay, so we're four, so when we start up next week, we'll be right at the two-month mark. You know, you get... And you're talking about not starting for another month. You're talking about being out for 3 months or so, three-plus months, and then you want the Detroit Red Wings and the Los Angeles Kings and the Anaheim Ducks and the Ottawa Senators and those teams to come back and lace up their skates and train and get ready for an absolute meaningless stretch of hockey games, which does nothing for them, as opposed to just getting ready for next year. I just think that's a lot to ask. And it just never made any sense to me whatsoever.
Let's talk about what this may mean for the Predators. Okay, they are a fringe team that under a 16-team format, if you did this and just say, okay, we're taking the 16, they'd be in no matter how you slice it, and they would have a crack at probably a one seed or two, you know, whatever it was. I guess they would be playing the one seed, but they would have a best of seven. What they're talking about here is a first round where, in theory, the Predators would be playing a best of three play-in just to get to the 16-team tournament.
Yeah, and you may look at that and go, well, that's not fair because they'd be in anyway, but you have to – I don't have the answer, and I'm glad I'm not making the decision, because it's very easy to say just do a 16 – just do the 16 as is. Just start the playoffs and do it that way. It's very easy to say that. Is that fair? No. Is it fair to do a 24-team playoff and put – teams that have absolutely no business being in there in? No. But that's the whole point of this. There's not a fair answer. There's not going to be a fair answer or a right answer.
Well, 24 teams, according to Brooks, would be every team in the NHL at 500 or better. Now, 500 hockey-wise would mean, you know, you obviously are including games that you lost, but they're overtime losses. But that, I guess that would make some sense historically, when you look back on it 20 years, okay, why did they do 24? That's one place to draw the line.
Nothing is going to be the right way, okay, unless you just did – if you came back and just did things normal. Normal is not what we're in right now. So it's going to raise eyebrows no matter what you come up with. You just have to do something that everybody can agree on and get on with it. And if it means some best of three series to get into the playoff, then that's what it is. And everybody's just going to have to live with it and deal with it, okay? It's not going to be normal. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be that way in the NHL. It's not going to be that way for any sport. So we're all going to have to adjust and just, you know, deal with whatever the, you know, whatever they decide is right, safe, and fair. All right, we'll come back. Second hour, the UFC is indeed going to put on a card in Jacksonville, Florida. UFC 249, there actually will be a live sporting event this weekend, tomorrow night, down in Florida. We'll talk to someone who covers the sport for ESPN on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5, The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.